We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
Look around. What do you see? Cars, lots of them. And guess what? They're probably on AutoTrader. Whether you're into timeless classics or the latest trends, did somebody say solar-powered, eco-friendly, vegan leather-wrapped, aromatherapy-scented, disco ball-equipped self-driving car? If you see it on the road, you can likely find it on AutoTrader. Big cars, small cars, blue cars, new cars and used cars, electric cars, and one day, maybe even flying cars. With millions of options to choose from, buying a car becomes a whole lot easier. See it, find it, Auto Trader.
Have you ever covered a carpet stain with a rug? Ignored a leaky faucet? Pretended your half-painted living room is supposed to look that way? Well, you're not alone. We've all got unfinished home projects. Whether it's a door that sticks, or a disorganized closet, or an AC unit that only works half the time, it all matters. You just haven't taken care of it yet. But there's an easier way. Just download the Thumbtack app. You can search for what you need done and find tons of highly rated pros right in your neighborhood. Check prices, reviews, and book a pro right on the spot. Plus, you'll know what to tackle next, because Thumbtack is the app that shows you what to do, who to hire, and when. Pull out your phone, and in just a few taps, say goodbye to all those unfinished home projects, and say hello to caring for your home the easier way. Download Thumbtack and start a project today.
Our daughter Jessie loves playing detective.
A clue.
But since we discovered she has sensitive skin, we've been playing detective too.
We thought the problem was our puppy.
But it was actually our old detergent.
Aha. Uh-huh.
So we switched to Tide Free and Gentle. Tide cleans better than the leading competitive free detergent, and it doesn't leave behind irritating residues.
Plus, Tide Free and Gentle has no dyes or perfumes, so it's gentle on her skin.
Case closed.
If it's got to be clean, it's got to be Tide Free and Gentle.
Getting you to the good half of your week. It's the Hump Show on After Hours.
Exactly dead center of the work week. I've already done the face plant right into the hump. You may have to walk over me on your way up to the top. The hump feels a little bit like Mount Everest. That's what it feels like this week.
It still feels like it's really far off. It's a cloud right now. Very small off in the distance, but keep moving. And eventually, you'll get to the weekend. So it's our hump show to mark the middle of the work week.
Helping you get to the back end of the work week. Welcome to the Hump Show on After Hours.
Good morning to you. It is Wednesday, your hump day, our hump show, rolling through this final hour and a few new topics that I want to get to. Actually, it's kind of funny because I started the show thinking, and I know this is how my industry views July, but it doesn't ever happen to me. I started out thinking, okay, I can regurgitate a couple of topics. I can talk about one topic multiple times during the show and then throw out our show question, which I've done. And that will be a good mix. And as it turns out, here we are into the final hour, and there are still multiple topics that I have on my list of options that I didn't even get to yet. So it's kind of good when it works out that way. During football season, during the fall, it's always that way. 4 hours is never enough to get to everything that I want to say. So it is a good problem to have, especially this time of the year. And even without a producer and without the format that we've used for most of the last 11 years, we managed to get to through a few questions of Ask Amy Anything. So thank you for sending them. I'll go back and answer a few more of those on our Twix and Facebook if you want to keep them coming there.
Yeah, we're kind of going to table that until we have a regular producer in, but I'll try to mix in a few of your questions on the Hump Show when I can. It is After Hours with Amy Lawrence. It is Wednesday, July 17th. Do you know by this time next week, all of the NFL training camps will need to be reported for duty? Yeah, I think the last teams, the last veteran groups are next Wednesday, July 24th. You guys, football's back. And as much as training camp can be limited in terms of media access, in terms of how much the guys can actually do on the field, in terms of padded practices, all of that is hotly contested and negotiated and debated when it comes to what these guys can do and when they can do it and whether or not it actually prepares them for the season. I think in the heat of July and August, it's probably smarter not to have as many practices where these guys go hard. I know many of them are indoors, but still, there's a lot of guys outdoors too, and it makes me nervous with the heat that we've got. They've got such incredible technology now, heart monitors and watches or other apparatus that are worn by these athletes to kind of gauge how they operate when their hearts and their bodies are at rest and how they operate when they're out there working and drilling or going through different practices when they finally get to that point, different football activities. So I know they're very careful. Water, hydration, they've got doctors, they've got athletic trainers that are there to make sure these guys don't have issues with the heat. But every year during college football, you hear something about a player or two who's dealt with heat exhaustion or you know, in extreme cases, heat stroke. So I really get nervous about these guys going out there and working hard. But thankfully in the NFL, they don't actually work hard this early in training camp. But here's a date that you need to circle on your calendar. Thursday, August 1st. Thursday, August 1st. Do you know what that is, Colton? Besides the start of August.
It's the Hall of Fame game.
It is the Hall of Fame game. Can you believe it's that soon? Thursday, August 1st. It's 2 weeks from tomorrow. The first NFL preseason game. 2 freaking weeks from tomorrow. And even though preseason games, especially the Hall of Fame game, are not real football.
So you turning in for those? Is that like an all-star game for you type of thing? Like, well, see, I get it's football, but like background noise.
Here's how I'll turn into it. I will watch it because it is, I believe it's actually on NBC. It's a Thursday night broadcast. I could be wrong, but I think it's on over-the-air television on one of the networks. If you want to confirm that, you can. But just the fanfare of it all and the, hey, welcome back. We're at the Hall of Fame. We're in Canton. It's the start of the NFL preseason. For that reason, yes, I will tune in. It is on NBC. Thank you, Colton, for confirming. So for that reason, yes, to see the setup and the lights and hear the announcers welcome back football, I'll watch a few plays. I'll watch the introduction of the Hall of Famers and then peace out. And that's really how I feel about the first week of the preseason as well. I'll check it out. I'll watch a couple of the games that are on national TV. And then I've got my hair to wash. But when it comes to the second week of the preseason, well, that's when you really need to pay attention. They only have 3 preseason games now. And so they do tend to throw guys out there a little more in weeks 2 and 3. But yeah, it's not real football. The entire goal of training camp, you may think it's to get the guys ready to play. I say they still do that really in the first month of the season is when they're warming up and ramping up. The entire goal of the preseason, I bet if you ask a lot of people inside football, it's to get through it healthy without losing any of your guys. But inevitably that happens. And so they're back. And already on Tuesday, not only did the Chiefs rookies report, but Patrick Mahomes, the quarterback room, reported, as well as Andy Reid, because they spend these next 3 days, what they call it is a rookie mini camp. They've already had a couple in the past, but they call it that so that Patrick, especially with the offense, can get up to speed a little bit. Just get a jump on an early education, what it's like to play with Pat, what it's like to play as a champion. They've got a long way to go. It's a long road, but they put in that extra work because they want to hit the ground running. I thought it was interesting, too, to hear from Patrick Mahomes. Of course, he's answering questions about the three-peat, but last year, they started so slowly. Actually, 2 years in a row now, they've started really slowly and have still ended up in the Super Bowl. But the issue, of course, is that they're constantly changing the people around Pat. Other than Travis Kelce, it seems like they've had this revolving door of receivers. And so the idea when it comes to not starting like last year would be, how about we don't lead the NFL in drops, right? But if you're not used to Pat and he's firing the ball at all kinds of different angles and he'll sidearm a bullet at you, I mean, there's got to be somewhat of a learning curve. Because the Chiefs have priorities when it comes to particular positions, they've got to pay guys. When you've got this many rings and this many Super Bowl appearances in so many years, guys deserve to get paid. For that reason, it's been more of a revolving door at some of the other skill positions, and they rely on Mahomes and they rely on Andy Reid and that offense that is like a well-oiled machine. Once it settles into a rhythm, they rely on those guys to bring the new people along. Now, we don't know what's going to happen with Rashee Rice. That's one big question. But otherwise, the defense was terrific last year and really kept them competitive until the offense caught up. But yeah, Pat actually said that they don't want to start out the way they did last year because it wasn't a whole lot of fun the first half of the year.
We wanted to play all year long, and it wasn't fun. I mean, every single week having to try to just continue to get better and better and results not paying off the way you want it to. It wasn't a lot of fun. We have a lot of those same guys back, and they know how that felt. And so we're going to try to prepare ourselves better this year so that we can play better throughout the season and obviously try to end with the same result.
So, yes, about that three-peat. It's been thrown out there. It's been a thing since they were cleaning up confetti, actually, since the confetti was falling in Vegas going back to February in that Super Bowl. Even as Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift were finding each other on the field, the talk of three-peat was already broached. And so they'll be answering questions about it all year long. I know they're used to it. They've been the team to beat in the NFL for the last 5 years, really. And so it's not going to be anything new for them to talk about goals. But the bullseye on their backs continues to get larger and larger, proverbial, not literal. It continues to get larger and larger. And other teams, when they face them during the regular season, it feels like their Super Bowl. If you can beat the Chiefs, take it from the Raiders. If you can beat the Chiefs, it feels like you've actually taken this huge step and you're closer to your goal. It may be fool's gold to beat the Chiefs during the regular season, but the fact that they're going to have to deal with these questions and this pressure all season long just kind of, once again, puts a little more on the shoulders of Patrick Mahomes.
Once you win the Super Bowl, I feel like even to another extreme, like when you don't win it, it sucks even more. Because you experience the offseason of being able to say you're the champ, and you experience all the different things and activities you're able to do because you're a Super Bowl champ, and you experience the feeling of just winning the Super Bowl. And so for us, I'll speak for myself. I mean, when you don't win it now, it sucks because you know what it could be like if you were to go out there and win it. I'm extremely excited. I mean, we added a lot of speed. Obviously, y'all know that. But we also added just players in every single position group. I'm excited for the offense to go out there and attack. And we have some of those young guys here at rookie minicamp. And I'm excited to get a couple days with them and get some early work in with them and timing. And then adding the veteran guys as the week goes on and trying to just continue to get better and better. And I mean, what better than going against our defense? I mean, it's the best defense in the NFL. We get to go get some every single day and really show where we're at and how we can get better.
Patrick Mahomes, good to hear his voice again, and he'll be working with the rookies these next few days, but you heard him say it. We got a lot of new people. We added a lot of speed. We added a lot of pieces, and that's the idea. As once again, it's a revolving door, and it reminds me a little bit of the Golden State Warriors, what they've gone through the last several seasons. Yes, they've had the core for the most part, Draymond, Steph, and Klay, although Klay missed 2.5 years because of his injuries, but that's been the core, and everything around them has changed. Not the coaching staff, of course, but everything around them on the court has changed. multiple times, multiple turnover. And yet they're expected to toe the line and kind of bring these guys along and teach them what it means to play like a warrior. And that is, once again, the job of Pat, the job of Travis Kelce, and the job of Andy Reid when it comes to their offense. You may remember they lost the beginning they lost their first game last season when they were the defending Super Bowl champions. Remember, the Detroit Lions went into Arrowhead, and it was a rough game. Let's be fair. The 21-20 outcome, there was a lot of excitement, but the game itself was not played at the highest level. Then they went on a bit of a win streak, but other than scoring 41 points against the Chicago Bears, the offense really sputtered. I mean, they won a game 17-9. They beat the Broncos 19-8. They really weren't scoring a ton of points. And then they hit their bye. Their bye was mid-November. Coming out of that bye, they lost to the Eagles. They beat the Raiders in Vegas. They lost to the Packers. They lost to the Bills. And both the Bills and Eagles beat them in Arrowhead, which was relatively unheard of. So they lost 3 of 4 games. They went into Foxborough and beat the Patriots. But then on Christmas Day, and this was the turning point, on Christmas Day at Arrowhead, they lost another game at home, this time to Antonio Pierce, who'd taken over for Josh McDaniels, and they lost to the Raiders. And remember, the Raiders felt like it was their defense. We've heard this from Pierce. The defense gave the rest of the NFL a blueprint for beating the Chiefs, which was to be physical with Patrick Mahomes. Well, it may have been a turning point for the Raiders, although I'm not really sure if they went left or right, but it was definitely the turning point and the catalyst for the Chiefs. And Mahomes has talked about it. The Chiefs have talked about it. That was rock bottom for them. It lit a fire under them that never went out. They rattled off then 2 wins to wrap the regular season, followed by their first, well, they played that first playoff game in the wild card, so had to participate in the wild card round at home, but then with Patrick Mahomes as QB, first road game of the postseason, because they were, what, the 3 seed, if I remember correctly? Don't quote me on that. I mean, I know it's only been a few months, but the details get kind of fuzzy in my brain. They didn't lose again, including Super Bowl 58 back in Vegas.
Play action fake. Right side throw, like touchdown! Kansas City! McCole Hardman with the catch on the right side! A 3-yard touchdown pass in overtime! Kansas City wins the game 25-22, and the Chiefs' kingdom has started its own history class.
Mitch Holtis on Chiefs Radio, does that not give you a thrill? Even if you aren't a Chiefs fan, maybe you're a Raiders fan, maybe you're a Chargers fan. Wait, are there Chargers fans anymore? Maybe you're a Broncos fan. Wah, wah, wah. Don't worry about it. The Chiefs are going to be able to beat the Broncos with their eyes closed, I think, because the Broncos don't have a quarterback, or they have too many quarterbacks, really. If we got started down this AFC West rabbit hole, I would not stop, because I think it's humorous every year. It's happened in the past where people look at the challengers for Kansas City and think, all right, this is the year. Someone's going to knock them down a peg. Nope, not yet. Still the team to beat. So yes, Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid, the quarterbacks, and the rookies have already reported for the Chiefs so they can get an early jump. And, you know, since Mahomes is there in training camp early, well, he needed some alternate entertainment when he's not actually on the field, which means, oh yeah, bringing your own.
This is my first year I'm bringing a TV. So I haven't brought a TV ever before, but NCAA came out, and I'm going to have to turn it on, so I brought a TV for NCAA and the Olympics, so that's my first year of doing that.
How about that? EA College Football, it's all the rage. It just dropped on Monday, right? And I don't know much about video games, computer games. It's not my area of expertise. What I do know is that it was trending, and you've got athletes in every sport who are psyched about EA College Football. I even had some of my colleagues do this countdown on social, in which they essentially were telling
the world, they'd be unavailable once college football dropped. So EA College Football is here, and Patrick Mahomes actually took the drastic step of including a TV. Could you imagine? This is not something that was a thing going back, say, 20 years ago. Remember when guys used to be so upset about the fact that they had to sleep in dorms? Somehow Brett Favre would make up a bazillion excuses. My dog died, or my house flooded, something along those lines. I can't make it to training camp on time. Now guys can bring TVs. But if they don't even want to deal with the TV, you've got your laptop and access to the world, right? So Pat will have alternate forms of entertainment. I highly doubt he's sleeping in a dorm, but that used to be the joke. All right, on Twix, A-Law Radio, our Facebook page too, we're asking you whether or not you have the ability to follow instructions. No, that's not it. But I hope that you do. Some people do not. We're asking you to rank your top five sports, because here we are in July and it's a veritable smorgasbord. We did the whole origin and definition of smorgasbord, as well as the spelling earlier in the show. If you missed it, you're going to have to get the podcast. But yeah, we were talking smorgasbord. It's Swedish, earlier in the show. And it's something people always ask me. What are your top five sports? What are your favorite sports? So we're asking you here in the dog days of summer, because really in July and then on into August, there's something for everyone since it's an Olympic year. Thanks for hanging out with us. Good morning to you. It's The Hump Show. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
Look around. What do you see? Cars, lots of them. And guess what? They're probably on AutoTrader. Whether you're into timeless classics or the latest trends, did somebody say solar-powered, eco-friendly, vegan leather-wrapped, aromatherapy-scented, disco ball-equipped self-driving car? If you see it on the road, you can likely find it on AutoTrader. Big cars, small cars, blue cars, new cars and used cars, electric cars, and one day, maybe even flying cars. With millions of options to choose from, buying a car becomes a whole lot easier. See it, find it, Auto Trader.
Listen as Selenia tells us why she chose to vaccinate her daughter.
I definitely felt like the pros far outweighed the cons. The diseases that I am protecting my child against, they're still here. And at the end of the day, it's my job as a mother to keep my child safe.
Talk to your child's doctor and learn more at whyvaccines.com. Brought to you by Merck.
It was quite a pivot. Remember, they made their pitch, what Dan Hurley called a compelling pitch, a compelling vision to give him the reins as the new head coach of the Los Angeles Lakers. But instead, after Hurley, and now he said he agonized over the decision, decided ultimately to stay at UConn because it was the best job in the world, and that's where his heart is. Right away, the Lakers turned to J.J. Redick. And I said at the time, it's just odd to go from one end of the spectrum to the other so quickly. Those two guys come from completely different backgrounds, but also completely different paths to get to the point where they've been offered the job by the Lakers. I don't suppose it matters to J.J. Redick that the job was offered to Dan Hurley first. I often say, who cares how you get the job? It doesn't matter to me if I'm first choice, second choice, third choice, fourth choice, fifth choice. If it falls to me and I get the job, well, then great. I'll prove to you I should have been your first choice all along. Just give me a chance. Give me an opportunity. And that's all I need. I don't care. My ego doesn't care whether or not I was your first choice. In the case of J.J. Redick, I'm sure that's also true. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Well, J.J. Redick is putting together his staff. Now, the timing of this had to be rough for him.
I don't know whether or not they consulted J.J. Redick when they were getting ready to draft, because he got hired, what was it, 2 days before the NBA draft, the first round anyway. I know they didn't pick Bronny James. That was probably already set in stone at number 55 until Thursday afternoon of that week in which he got the head coaching gig. But they ask him to take the job. He accepts it. They've probably already got their draft board in place. So maybe he was part of the war room, but I don't know how much input he had. He's still right now putting together his staff. And that means he's trying to do it while they're in the midst of putting a roster together. It's just a lot. They waited so late in this process that it's a lot to ask. But I do love at least one move that they've made, and I wanted to highlight it this morning. If you don't know the name Lindsay Harding, well, you should. Not because she was the G League Coach of the Year for the Stockton Kings, but because she has been an assistant coach in the NBA for years. And that's how she knows J.J. Redick, not to mention their time at Duke. They both went to Duke. She played there. She was an All-American. So was he, obvi. And so the two of them have had a friendship that dates back now a couple decades. But they also worked together as coaches with the Philadelphia 76ers. She has been on NBA benches now. Gosh, going back, I'm trying to think how long it's been. I know she spent nearly a decade in the WNBA. She was number one overall pick going back 17 years ago. So I think she's been in the NBA probably for 10 years. And she's done interviews for head coaching jobs in the past. She tried to get the Charlotte Hornets head coaching job, but was passed over for that. She was in Stockton with the Kings and got her team to the Western Conference Finals in the G League. She spent time with both the Sixers and the Kings at their NBA level. And now she will be an assistant with the Los Angeles Lakers. And I love this not because, well, not just because she's a female. I'm a fan of Lindsay Harding. She's obviously a coach that knows how to develop talent, knows how to teach players. Coaching and teaching, while they do cross and there are obviously similarities in both respects, teaching is much more specific. Teaching is much more about development. It's much more about skills. I think it's much more about basics. And you have to build a foundation and then add on to it. And that's something that she's good at. She's got the respect of the league. Remember when we were talking to Lindsey Gottlieb earlier, going back now to March Madness and college basketball, if you remember, USC was a top seed in the women's tournament. And so we were able to connect with her even as they were launching, they were hosting the first couple of rounds at USC, but even as they were launching into that tournament in their quest to reach the Final Four, she spent time on the Cavaliers bench. So she was in the NBA coaching as an assistant before she took the job at USC. And she actually was talking about women, female coaches, and her time in the NBA and some of the others that she's encountered. And that I do remember her specifically mentioning Lindsay Harding. So good for her, good for Lindsay, but also great for JJ that not because he's doing something that will make headlines and that will be outside the box, but because he recognizes the talent of Lindsay Harding, and it doesn't matter whether or not she's male or female. What matters is that she is someone who can help develop young players, and he's the one who's supposed to be doing this developing, right? He's supposed to be a guy who can get the best out of his players. That's what we just heard from Rob Pelinka to start the segment. And at 40 years old, she's really early in her coaching career still. And I hope that she continues to take interviews. I hope she continues to get interviews. We know for a long time when we had on the bench for the San Antonio Spurs, Becky Hammon under Greg Popovich, there were people that were pointing to Greg and say, or pointing to, well, yes, Greg, saying he at some point he's going to retire and Becky will be the heir apparent to that job. Well, she decided she wanted to be a head coach. And so she went to the WNBA and took over the Aces. And lo and behold, they won back-to-back championships.
I think a lot of people expected and maybe still expect that she will be the first woman ever to coach an NBA team, meaning a head coach. And that could very well be true. Maybe she is waiting to see what happens in San Antonio, or maybe there will be another opening. Remember, her name had been tossed around for different jobs at the NBA level. Well, now it's Lindsey Harding, who not only had a pro career, she was a number one overall draft pick in the WNBA. She was highly decorated and obviously smart to play at Duke. She's coached around some of the league's best and brightest now and has been part of their development before she went to the G League. And so here she is, to be a full-time head coach in the NBA at the G League level is still an accomplishment for a female. She's only the second ever to do it. But now to be on this Lakers staff, it could be a life-changing moment, a career-changing moment for Lindsey. And I am glad that JJ remembers his friend, remembers his former colleague, his former assistant coach, or his former fellow coach, and of course a friend of his going back to his days at Duke, and understands that she can help him develop the players there with the Lakers. I think it's really interesting too, though, that Lindsey goes from G League and the Kings, even if you're with the big league club, so to speak, even or with your Sacramento, it's not the same pressure as being with the Lakers. It's not the same profile as being with the Lakers. So this is her opportunity to prove herself on a grander stage. And I think that's amazing. Again, who cares how many people got the jobs before you? This is her opportunity now to prove that she belongs and that the coaching skills that she has speak for her, right? It doesn't matter male or female. If she can do the job, she'll have the respect of the players and, of course, her fellow coaches. On Twix, A-Law Radio, ranking your favorite sports. Also on our Facebook page, it's good to connect with you. 855-212-4227. We had a guy earlier who said he'd been listening and waiting on hold since 11:30 Eastern time, 11:30 Pittsburgh time. We weren't on the air then. It wasn't an extended cut of the show, if you will. Nope. And then he said, oh, I guess I was really drunk. Great. That's exactly what we're going for. Lowest common denominator radio. At least he didn't try to sing the national anthem. I don't think you can blame that on me. That would not be my responsibility. But the good thing is there are headphones so that you can listen to the radio. Headphones, earbuds, whatever the case. I may be the last person on my island that still wears earbuds with cords. But I do for a couple of reasons. Number one, it seems like every single time I do have a set of earbuds that I wear around the house when I'm cleaning, that kind of stuff. They get stuck in my hair and they go flying or they fall out of my ear and they fall into the sink or something. It's just, they don't work for me. So I instead use the ones with the cords. And yes, I do inevitably now and then get them tangled on a doorknob or on my purse, or I don't know, just have a hard time because I can't walk away from the phone. Whatever. These are first world problems. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Thanks so much for hanging out with us. Good morning to you. I know that it's hard to believe, for me anyway, that it's July 17th, but yay, 7 months married today. It's not quick, 7 months. Yes, we're still in the honeymoon phase, I think. No, I don't know if we are or not. It's been some major challenges over the first 7 months, but I wouldn't change a thing. Makes us who we are. And sometimes we say, we look back and gosh, can barely recognize where we were this time last year. We weren't even gauged this time last year, which is kind of crazy. But yeah, it's been awesome to be married and to have a partner in life and to know that we're making major progress toward the couple that we want to be, right? Getting to know each other a lot better over the last 7 months, which is awesome. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. You can find me on Twix, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. This time tomorrow, we will have a good portion of the Open Championship already done through the first round. It's awesome when we have international events that we can watch live on TV instead of having the news or some of the highlights playing overnight. I'll be able to talk to you about what's happening at the Open Championship. Now for Rory McIlroy, this is his first major since that collapse going back to the U.S. Open. And there's no place to hide now. he's having to answer questions, even comparing the Open Championship to the Scottish Open. The stages are completely different. Now you've got the world watching again, just as we were when he missed those two really short putts. One or both of them could have clinched his first major in 10 years. And so for him to now have to get back on the horse, so to speak, but to be able to do it in Scotland is huge, right? To a place where he's comfortable, the type of golf, the style of golf course that he's comfortable with. I mean, this is his opportunity. But along with that comes all the questions about collapsing.
You have to get comfortable with the fact that, you know, you're not going to win all the time. And you just have to learn from, you know, every experience you have in a golf tournament, whether you win, whether you don't win, whether you should win. Yeah. And that's what I've tried to do from Pinehurst. You know, I knew it was a great opportunity. You know, I'm not disguising that fact. You know I should have won that golf tournament, but I also know that I'm going to have plenty more opportunities coming up. And especially with the way my game is and how I'm feeling about my game, you know, if I go out there this week and play a similar way to I did at Pinehurst, and get myself in a similar position, you know, I know that I'll handle that scenario better this time around.
You know, it strikes me as so ironic, and I didn't really think about it until recently when I started to see headlines that have the name Rory McIlroy and then the name Greg Norman on the same line. This is probably the worst punishment for Rory, right underneath, hey, I didn't win my fifth major and I still have to answer questions about the fact that it's been 10 years and what if the chances don't come around again, yada, yada, yada. But he is still a four-time major champion. Well, he and Greg Norman are being mentioned together. Why? Because they've suffered two of the most astronomical collapses in major golf history. And the part that's ironic is that Rory despises Greg Norman. He said that publicly because of LIV, because of what it's meant to the PGA, because of the number of golfers that he's poached, quote unquote, with all of this money that they're paying to him. And it's got to be even worse torture. Again, not just having lost a major when he was so close there at the end, excruciating to know that he lost. Now, granted, Bryson DeChambeau played extremely well and was able to step into that void where Rory left the door wide open. But if Rory makes one of those putts, we could be talking about something completely different, maybe a playoff at the U.S. Open. But instead, now he and Greg Norman labeled together as two of the greatest collapses in golf history when he can't stand them. I don't know. I don't believe in karma, but all the ways he's trashed Greg Norman, like I say, it's ironic, at least. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Something else that is kind of interesting that came out on Tuesday as both Rory and Tiger Woods and other golfers were answering questions about the Open Championship and it's being played in Scotland, and last major of the year, all that jazz, blah, blah, blah. Apparently, Tiger Woods reached out to his friend Rory after the U.S. Open, and he wanted to encourage him. He wanted to, you know, just kind of let him know that he's not alone. Essentially, what Tiger said is, I wanted to remind him that we've all been there as champions. We all lose, and that the faster you get back on the horse and get back into contention, the better it is for you. So this is the message that he sends to Rory. But 2 days after the U.S. Open, Rory changed his phone number. And so he not only did not receive that text from Tiger Woods, but as it turns out, Michael Jordan texted him. Couldn't get through because the phone number had been disconnected. Or maybe, you know how they do that, Colton, where eventually they will reuse old phone numbers. I don't know if it's ever happened to you. Now, I've had the same phone number now for, gosh, trying to think when I first got this phone number. I think going back to probably 20 years ago. I think it was probably 04 or somewhere around there where I was living in Rhode Island. I think I moved to Rhode Island in 03, and that's when I got my cell phone number. And I continue to use it when I change phones. I've even changed providers and have taken the same number with me. So who knows how long he had that phone number, but Michael Jordan somehow gets his hands on the number. Maybe they were buds before that. Michael Jordan texts him. Nah, it probably went to somebody else. Every now and then, like I said, when I first changed my number, I would get texts from other people. So that didn't know me. So I wonder if maybe somebody had that number. It's now been transferred to average Joe or June in Dubuque, Iowa, and they got a message from Michael Jordan intended for Rory McIlroy.
That's a way to pull up one of those contacts. You got those like famous YouTube videos that people out in the street, name a famous person in your contact. Oh, I just got Michael Jordan. How do you know? I just randomly texted him trying to text Rory McIlroy, but yeah, he texted me instead, so we're pals now.
Rafael Nadal, another one who reached out to Rory but did not get a reply because Rory never got the message. So yeah, he says he changed his number 2 days after the U.S. Open, and he said something about how I blanked Tiger Woods, which is kind of funny. I guess that's the British Isles way of saying it, or the Irish way of saying it, is I blanked him. Here we would say ghosted Tiger Woods, which is kind of funny. Speaking of Tiger, I'm not sure if this came out before yesterday. I hadn't heard it, so maybe I missed it when I was on vacation. But even though Keegan Bradley is now being celebrated as the Ryder Cup captain, he's still active on the PGA Tour, obviously, the job was first offered to Tiger Woods again.
The decision was very difficult for me to make. My time has been so loaded with the tour and everything we're trying to accomplish. I'm on so many different subcommittees that it just takes so much time in the day, and I'm always on calls. And I told Seth that I just didn't feel like I could do the job properly. I couldn't devote the time. I barely had enough time to do what I'm doing right now. And add in TGL starts next year, as well as the Ryder Cup. And you add all that together. And then with our negotiations with the PIF, all that PIF concurrently going on at exactly the same time, there's only so many hours in a day. And I just didn't feel like I would be doing the captaincy or the players and Team USA justice if I was the captain with everything that I have to do.
Wow, who knew Tiger Woods was so busy in his limited schedule on the PGA Tour? But he definitely is. He mentions PIF. I kind of think those negotiations are a complete and total sham. I don't think there's ever going to be a merger between LIV Golf and the PGA. It was all just about a money grab and getting those lawsuits chucked out. But Tiger was also referring to the TGL. He and Rory, well, I hope he's got Rory's new number now, because they are partners together for this. It's actually a tech-infused golf league. I'm not sure what that means, but that's how it's being billed. And it's supposed to start its first season in January. So I don't think it's an alternate to the PGA, maybe more of a limited run type of thing. But could you imagine Tiger Woods spending all day, every day on conference calls? No. He mentions all the committees. Maybe he's on a parent committee for one of his kids' schools. Yeah, he spends the majority of his time doing conference calls. How many of them do you think are Zoom?
100%.
100% are Zoom.
100% are Zoom.
You're Tiger Woods. Do you have to be on video if you're doing a Zoom call?
No, you'll be very lucky if you get a phone call.
I guess Tiger Woods would have the right to say, no, today I'm turning my camera off. I'm turning my video off. Although if you're a high profile sponsor or a corporate partner and what you need is for people to see Tiger Woods on the call, I guess you say to him, hey man, we just need you to show up and then peace out with your video. We don't care what you do behind the camera when the video is off. Just we need you to show up here and kind of be the face that closes the deal, if you will. A little bit like Nick Saban showing up in living rooms just by virtue of him being there. Okay, we'll commit to Alabama. Man, it's going to be weird without Nick Saban on the sidelines. So yeah, Tiger Woods, Rory McIlroy, they will start out in the Open Championship by this time tomorrow. I don't exactly know the tee times for Rory. I know that it's a 9:37 Eastern time for Tiger, though, so
Mark it on your calendar. Set a reminder on your phone. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Boom!
Look around. What do you see? Cars, lots of them. And guess what? They're probably on Auto Trader. Whether you're into timeless classics or the latest trends, did somebody say solar-powered, eco-friendly, vegan leather-wrapped, aromatherapy-scented, disco ball-equipped self-driving car? If you see it on the road, you can likely find it on Auto Trader. Big cars, small cars, blue cars, new cars and used cars, electric cars, and one day, maybe even flying cars. With millions of options to choose from, buying a car becomes a whole lot easier. See it, find it, Auto Trader.
Master outdoor cooking this summer with the Meat Eater Outdoor Cookbook, the inspiring and practical new guide from Stephen Rinella, host of the Meat Eater podcast and television show. With over 100 recipes for meat, fish, poultry, and game birds, accompanied by lush photography and easy-to-follow tips, the Meat Eater Outdoor Cookbook is the ultimate guide to open-air cooking. Whether you've hunted the ingredients yourself or forged them from the supermarket. Because food just tastes better when it's caught, cooked, and eaten outside. The Meat Eater Outdoor Cookbook by Stephen Rinella is available now.
Here's why April chose to vaccinate her child.
I think actually meeting someone who was not vaccinated and now has a lifelong struggle with a childhood disease really cemented for me that it's super important that we as parents continue to vaccinate our children.
Talk to your pediatrician or visit whyvaccines.com. Brought to you by Merck.